Well, I may be the last angry man, but today on International Women's Day, this whole hour is going to have a lot of angry women. And there's nothing more dangerous than smart, angry women. Smart, angry women who are taking action. Not just women, but they happen to be around tonight. I want all of you to listen slowly, because tomorrow there's going to be a municipal government exercise in bullshit trying to baffle your brains. So please listen slowly till we get into the show. As you, all of you know, in my other hat as president of the Institute of Public Affairs, I've been helping out groups of citizens who have been organizing against the hikes in parking meter rates. It's a hidden tax. It's a money grab. The city doesn't need it, and they can't explain it. You can be angry with taxes. You can debate policy. But what really broke this story in my mind is something to really get your teeth into, is a letter that was sent to one of the citizens involved in this, Sharon Friedman, by a senior ranking member of the Cabinet de Maire of the mayor's office, who said several things. That the hikes in parking meter rates will be dedicated to Montreal's cleanliness campaign, number one. Number two, that two boroughs, Ville-Marie and Plateau-Montréal, had requested the increase. And number three, that this brings us to the same level as Toronto, Vancouver, and even Quebec City. Now, nobody could find anybody in Ville-Marie and Plateau-Montréal boroughs who had asked for this increase. There may be retroactively tomorrow at the press conference people who are going to make the mayor look good. Don't believe it for a second. Secondly, the other major cities in Canada do not have our usurious property tax rates, which on non-residential property mean higher business taxes, which are now reaching the point of the Doré-era surtaxes that drove one out of five storefronts into bankruptcy in downtown Montreal. And all this during the Trump administration, after Mayor Bourque had reduced those surtaxes by 80%. But perhaps the most important thing of all is that when a government gives a reason for something, they better stick to the reason and they better continue riding the horse that took them where they brought, and not just change in midstream. When they say that they want these monies dedicated to Montreal's cleanliness campaign, that fails on two grounds. Number one, if that's what it's for, then why the hell did Benoît Labonté introduce fines where property owners, store owners, are going to be fined from $150 to $2,000 if they don't clean up the public sidewalks and gutters? And Marcel Tremblay says that the cleanliness police are going to have uniforms to give them authority. What kind of society are we building? That's what your taxes are for, is to have the city clean up the streets. But let's say that they wanted more money. Well, there is no more to have. Tomorrow, the city will be making an argument that now, after 3 days of talking about cleanliness, they're going to switch to environment. That it's going to be good because it'll make less people take their cars. Also nonsense. The only major study done of Montreal traffic patterns and environment was conducted by Wendell Cox, who at one time was chair of the American Public Transit Association, the largest such body in North America, who determined, number one, that Montreal, out of all major cities in North America of a million people or more, had the highest ratio of expressways and mass transit to population than any other major city, that all we needed was really Highway 30 being finished. But also number two in that American Public Transit Association study, it was found that no city in North America, through any combination of increased parking rates or any other measures affecting mass transit, has been able to reduce the use of cars by more than 2%. This parking meter thing is nothing but a cheap tax grab, and they're going to try to dress it up as something for the tree huggers to love. It doesn't work, because there's no more money. And I want to repeat a final thing before we go to commercial and we get to our guests. This issue came to a head last week at the same time that the Center for Policy Alternatives released a report showing that 90% of Canadians are working longer for less net money than they were 10 years ago. And the single biggest cause of that is taxes, both direct and hidden. You can't have the kind of marginal tax rates we've got kicking in at such low numbers, plus indirect taxation on everything from GST, TVQ, excise taxes, and yes, parking meters. All think tanks, all economic think tanks, from the right wing to the left wing, from the Fraser to the CPA, agree on one thing. High taxes are the major cause of Canadians, the mass, 90% of us, not being able to save, not having enough money, and as another study demonstrated, being one paycheck away from financial disaster. Assez, c'est assez. There's nothing more in the till. They can't pull anything out of us. And when you're hearing the press conference tomorrow, get mad enough to go online and sign the petition of the citizens who have had enough. Because I want you to keep in mind that the city of Montreal in the past two budgets has put aside $10 million a year, a total of $20 million for propreté, for cleanliness. Where's it gone? We could clean up alphabet land in Lower Manhattan with that money. The city of Montreal, which is now asking for $600 million in transport costs and road infrastructure work, has apparently spent $350 million on road infrastructure and mass transit over the past 3.5 years. Where is it? The city of Montreal, that seems not to have any money, spent $5 million on a 311 phone system that's not in place yet to supposedly serve Montrealers better. Why doesn't the mayor just tell the bureaucrats on the first floor of City Hall to pick up the goddamn phones that are constantly ringing from citizens and they're never picked up? You get the point. The waste has been unbelievable. I don't know if this is misfeasance or malfeasance, but it's one thing. It's nonfeasance. It's like nobody's home. And every time they think there's a problem, throw money at it. And where do they get the money? From all of us. So when you're going to be mad enough after this program, you will go online and sign this petition, because assez, c'est assez. We'll be right back with our guests. We're talking taxes and we're talking citizen indignation. And in studio with me, Giovanna Giancaspro, owner of La Molisana restaurant up on Fleury, who has literally flooded my office today, broken, destroyed our print cartridges with, I think, about half of the petitions that she's had signed. And Lucie Chouinard, owner of Le Fambad restaurant on Duluth, who's also the president of Duluth Merchant Association. Good evening to both of you.
Rachel,
I'm sorry, not Duluth, Rachel. Do me excuse. Okay, we'll start with Giovanna, because you have been busy with this petition thing. How's it going up there?
It's going very good. People don't stop coming in. They're just signing this petition. The merchants are very frustrated. They're not stopping. We're not giving up, and we're just going ahead. When Tremblay this morning says that it was our choice, I'm sorry, it was not our choice. We never asked for any meters in the area for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and Sunday. They just went ahead and did whatever they wanted to do, and that's exactly what we're fighting for. So if he could stand up and say that it's our choice, then go back, come back to us, and ask us, what do we want? And then we will make it our choice.
Well, the mayor must think Montrealers are a bunch of masochists. That's about it.
Exactly.
How many names do you think you've got?
I've got over 3,000, and I'm still not stopping, and we're not stopping, and we're not stopping. It's just going to keep on going on, and we want the public to start coming in and realizing what they're doing. It's totally wrong.
Lucie Chouinard.
Yes, hi.
Good evening. How much damage is this kind of hidden tax going to do to merchants downtown, given all the other things, the increased property taxes that landlords are passing on to tenants as replacement of business taxes? How much damage is it going to do to our ordinary joie de vivre, our ordinary life, the ability of people to come into a restaurant, sit down without running out to feed meters, the ability to have a reasonable meal without having to spend $12 on parking meters?
Yeah, it's gonna hurt us. This is for sure, especially on the Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays.
Monday to Wednesdays.
Yeah, of course. I cannot evaluate how much it's going to damage us, but for sure it will do something. It's much easier to go in suburbs and where you have lots of parking lots. There's no problem to park if you have the choice to do so. Mm-hmm. And, well, we'll see. We're just starting the petition today with all the stores and everything. So I'm going to see, but it's... another problem, we feel squeezed, you know. There's no parking lots around at all. So we will need spaces to park, because it's not true that this way to do will favor people to come on bicycles and, you know, in buses. People will come to have dinner with their car as usual.
What I'm hearing from you is, as important as a rollback in the price of the meters is a restoration of free Sundays and Monday to Wednesdays after 6 o'clock. That's just as important.
At least, because, and maybe there should be two different fees. You see, it could be less expensive at night, and
You mean after 6 o'clock?
After 6 o'clock, that's right. Stores are closed anyways. And another problem is that it's only for 2 hours. And when people come for dinner, it's always more than 2 hours. So they have to go out and just go back and pay and, you know, it's...
Got it. Louise Boyne is on the line with us. Louise, I thank you for your patience.
No problem, Daryl.
But you know me, when I start a rant, I don't even look at the clock. Chris is very upset with me that I missed a traffic report. Louise Boyne, for those few people who might not know who she is, she represented Peter McGill District, that which is downtown Montreal, sat on Mayor Tremblay's executive committee. And Louise, I'm going to let you tell how you feel about this parking meter hike, because you sent me a note today that this is something that you've been working against for all the time that you were in that administration.
Well, Beryl, I think you know I quit the executive committee.
Yes.
I was elected. I was on the first tier of Mr. Tremblay's mandate. And I sat with him around the table for 3 years. And on December 31st, 2004, I quit. I kept my city councilor's position because I believe in what I was elected to serve the people. I think that
Louise, I'm sorry for interrupting you. We just got to go to a very short break, and then we'll
sure.
be right back.
Sure.
Thanks. And we're back, and it's tax time, and it's tax revolt season. It's a mean season in Montreal. And in studio with us, Giovanna Giancaspro, owner of the Molisana, and the engine behind thousands of signatures opposing the parking meter hike. And Lucy Chouinard, president of the Shell Street Merchant Association and owner of Le Flambard. And on the phone, Louise Boyne, former city councilor for Peter McGill District and member of the executive committee under Mayor Tremblay. Louise, I'm sorry to have cut you off, but we had to go to these breaks. You were saying that when you were with the Tremblay administration...
I fought tax increases for parking. I fought my two colleagues who were in the borough who wanted to close down illegal parking lots. They weren't illegal parking lots. Mr. Doré, 20-odd years ago, decided to give a moratorium to parking to landowners who had parking lots to build. Unfortunately, Montreal is down on the heels. They don't have... Why would a developer build when he owns buildings that are half empty? You've got people like Mr. Landau who own parking lots on Dorchester, Ideal Parking. We're killing these parking lots by closing them up. There are commerces that need the people who are arrested.
Why didn't anybody consider, by the way, taking these parking lots and converting them to city use or for public use?
Absolutely. I've always said we should have multi-level parking operated by the city. The city should be run like a business, not like a bureaucracy. We get taxes from people who own land, but they're trying to force development in Montreal. There isn't a need for more office space right now. I spoke to all the major landowners. I met with major parking lot operators and owners in the last 2 months. They're all against it. They're banding together. They're going to go to the media. They're not going to sit down. But we're killing the small businesses. I was on St. Catharines an hour ago when you were talking to me. If I needed to pick up a film, if I couldn't have found a parking spot, I would have driven off to another one.
And they're getting a double whammy between the parking rates and the rise in property taxes and the pass-through on business taxes.
Daryl, since I left on December 31st, 2005, they've gone from $1.50 to $3. Mr. Labonte does not live downtown. I live off Sherbrooke Street on Mountain Street. Every single lamppost, the lights are down. The parking meters aren't up. You don't see...
It's not just downtown. Giovanna's up in a Hunsick.
Can I tell you something? It's parking right across the street, right across the city. It's a lack of leadership. Just ask one of the 11 or all of the 11 executive members, do they take the bus? They take the car. The mayor has a...
Giovanna's laughing because she and her daughter Teresa is in the studio. We're talking about that just before the show, that these guys don't take the bus.
Don't take the bus. They have to... Look, I used to take taxis. I had access to the chauffeur. I drove my car. I changed my car from... I did what I could do. I went from a Jeep to a Volkswagen, four cylinders. There are ways to reduce gas emissions. But you cannot force people not to use cars. We are killing downtown. I was in Florida.
Let me just interrupt you on this because Lucy Schwinnart has to leave us at 7:30. Sure. Lucy, this question of killing downtown, I mean, you're downtown, but you're in
the plateau. It's very hard on the plateau.
The overflow is going there as well.
Well,
the pain is being felt there as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure, because there are no parking on the plateau.
Anywhere.
You can't park anywhere. And the spaces are really rare, so people go around sometimes for 20 minutes on Friday nights to find a parking. Mm-hmm. So they're late with their reservations, you know. So
have you got this problem of illegal parking lots up in the plateau? Or has the city started to, or this is not an issue in the plateau? These stationnements illégaux that the city has closed down downtown. They closed 24.
Not really.
No.
You just don't have enough of anything up there.
There are no parking.
No parking.
There's no parking.
No parking.
At all. So.
Beryl, can I just say
sure.
something? Sure. First of all, I talked to the religious groups when I was elected. Do you realize that if you go to 5 o'clock mass, or you go to a synagogue, you go to church, you've literally got to run out of church to put money in the meter.
Yeah.
If you want to have dinner, you're not going to stay downtown.
No, Sharon Friedman was making that point, actually, to me, on houses of worship in the West End from Snowden all the way through TMR.
Beryl, when I go to the forum to watch a movie, even if I use my car, I have to use a public parking lot because I can't park on the street. So they're losing my $6.
Louise, can you stay with Giovanna and myself? I know Lucy has to leave.
Of course.
Thanks very much. We'll be back with Giovanna Giancospro and Louise Boyne right after this. And we're wrapping up our discussion on the tax hikes, the meter hikes, and frankly what is turning out to be a dyed-in-the-wool, up-from-the-ground citizens' revolt. No associations, just people who are fed up and are saying, assez, c'est assez, there's no more money in the till. In studio with me is Giovanna Giancospro, who's been just a tornado on this, has collected thousands of petitions up in Montreal North, the Ahuntsic area. On the phone with us, Louise Boyne, former city councillor for Peter McGill, member of the executive committee under the Trombley administration, who's been telling us of how she's been arguing against these very kind of hikes all the way through. Louise, when I was reading out at the beginning of the show, this is Zampino's budget that he claims to have spent. I mean, where's this money gone? You can't spend $20 million for cleanliness, then put in fines, then put in hikes for meters for the same thing.
Well, to begin with, I think that we've got to have citizen participation in terms of awareness. They have to, if you see somebody throwing a cigarette butt, I think citizen to citizen, we have to tell these people that they shouldn't be doing it. It's got to start with us. I think that when the president of Tourism Montreal, Charles Lapointe, berated the mayor when at the luncheon, at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon, I think he was right in terms of showing the streets and the lampposts and everything needed to be fixed up. But there had to be a participation. There's leadership.
And leadership means that government is educative and persuasive, not compulsive
not
and coercive.
I agree with you.
Constantly.
Because if you force the little restaurant owner on St. Catherine Street, the soup shops and whatnot, to clean up in front of their restaurants or be fined, I agree that they need to help keep. They can't put their garbage out in the street. I think the city is doing it completely backwards. They should be picking up the garbage at night, at 9 o'clock after the store is closed, not at 8 o'clock in the morning when people are going to the office and you see garbage bags out in the front of the street. So it's all upside. It's topsy turvy.
Yes, it is.
It's topsy turvy.
Giovanna, how far do you see this thing going? This movement going?
Oh, I see it going very far. If everybody reacts to it the way they should be reacting and not accepting this meter hike, I think it's going to go very far.
Absolutely.
It's just that people have to come out and stand, and we're helping you, we're supporting, there is us there for you. But we need everybody's support on this. We're all crying out. The Tremblay's a BS. It's all BS, whatever they're telling you, because I do clean up in front of my place. I wish I could get the money of the meters, and I'll hire someone in front of my own place to clean up. It's they're taking the money for other purposes. Mm-hmm. I know it's to build a big arc in Promenade Fleurie, which I really think we don't need. So I'd rather people come in and not have these parking meters instead of doing whatever they want to do. I don't see people coming in on bikes at night at my restaurant. Absolutely not. It's not a restaurant for bikes. They're going to go up in the North Shore, South Shore, if they have to go pay for meters. So it's only going to hurt restaurants. I have parking right next door, but people are taking my parking space because they don't want to put money in the meters. So my clients are being jeopardized by this, which is not fair for other restaurant owners that's the same thing that's happening.
We'll be back with some final thoughts right after this. And just to wrap up our discussion on this tax hike, you're going to hear a press conference tomorrow, and if it's what I think it is, that they're going to shift the reason for the tax hikes on parking meters from cleanliness to the environment, it doesn't wash. Again, I urge all of Montrealers who are thinking, thoughtful people, you can go to the website of the Montreal Economic Institute and search for Wendell Cox, his report, which demonstrated that no city in North America, through any combination of increased parking rates or even increased mass transit, has been able to reduce car use inside the city by more than 2%. You want to do it? Let the federal governments give tax credits so that hybrid cars become the standard. That's the only way to deal with the internal combustion engine. You're not going to get people to stop driving their cars. You're going to kill the inner city. It's as simple as that. Are people around you, Giovanna Giancaspro, are they ready to say, are they mad enough to say, you know, if we get fined for this, we're ready not to pay the fines?
Oh, I would think so. I know a lot of people are fighting this, and we shouldn't be getting any fines for this anyways. I mean, I don't think you should be doing anything like that. And it's not going to stop people from taking their cars. They're just going to keep on taking their cars nonstop. Like you just finished saying, I know of everyone that takes a car. I know of people that take the bus. I think they should just improve their express routes during the day and at night. Leave us alone, and that's it.
Giovanna Giancaspro, we thank you. Keep your petitions coming to us. Louise Boyne, thank you for joining us tonight.
Beryl, yeah. Multi-level parking. Operated by the city, and the city should take back the management of the parking. They'll make money.
Absolutely. I mean, I said at the beginning of the show, I think it's astounding that the city contracts out parking Station Memorial to the Board of Trade.
No,
that's what they're elected for.
Exactly. They're giving away the profits. They should be keeping them and making them generate in a positive way for us.
Ladies?
Wow.
Mahatma Gandhi, the Prince of Peace, once said, "We are a society of laws and not of men. But when bad men make bad laws and unprincipled officials compromise good ones, it's time to stand up and be a citizen and exercise responsible agitation to stop governments from staggering drunkenly from wrong to wrong merely to perpetuate their own immortality." And maybe in Montreal, that time has come. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, if we had three angry women and one angry man, we're going to add a fourth angry woman, because there are problems outside of Montreal and outside of Canada. We're in a world at war. And last week we missed Pamela Geller, atlasshrugs.com, because she was at a conference and didn't hear our call. Pamela Geller, welcome back.
I was with Cheney. He was the only one that could have superseded you, Beryl.
I thought it was Bolton. Now I'm being stood up for two guys?
No, actually, when you called me, it was Cheney, but it was Bolton I was dying to listen to.
Well, Bolton I could accept being, thrown over for.
Listen, he was the warm-up. Cheney was the warm-up deck, but don't tell him that.
All right. Pamela.
Yeah, now, first, I'm not an angry woman. I want to just clarify something. I'm a passionate woman.
Okay,
I'm not
a passionate woman. All right.
There you go.
Well, they couldn't very well call the show The Last Passionate Man.
But they could call it The Last Passionate Woman. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
You have been going on and on and on this week. You've really got, if you've got any Irish in you, you've really got your Irish up over this Ann Coulter thing. And let me give our listeners, a little background. Because we had a similar situation here. We have everybody here knows the story of Louis Champagne, the talk show host who was suspended from radio station for calling the Parti Québécois basically a bunch of gays, but not in a very nice terminology. Now, Ann Coulter is a very well-known writer, even up here, the blonde babe of the right. You don't mind that, Pamela, because you're the brunette babe. You're baber than Coulter.
I have, listen, I have a crush on her. I'm totally with you.
Wait a minute. I have to sear this image in my mind. You have a crush on Ann Coulter. Okay, image seared. Image seared. It's okay.
Excuse me. And by the way, I'm notoriously heterosexual, so we're not even going to go there. But she's definitely an icon. She's someone I look up to, and quite frankly, this is
for all our listeners, she's the woman with the long blonde hair who's always on CNN or Fox and giving, you know, quite brilliant commentary. Now, what happened that she got banned from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee? What happened?
She didn't get banned yet. She got up. She made her remarks, which, by the way, they're on my site. If you want to see it, if you want to go to YouTube and search Ann Coulter, parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, but it's on my site. And they were hysterical. And when she was running down, and she was controversial, when she was running down the candidates, like, you know, she was describing Obama as half white and half black, and Hillary as half white and half trash. You know, she was really rolling. And she got to John Edwards. What she said was, listen, I can't use the word faggot, or you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. Now, a couple quick things.
She said that.
Now, in America, what happened was there was a guy on a TV show, and he had a contretemps with another one of his castmates, and he called him a faggot, and he went into rehab. And she was saying at the time that it's like the Soviet Union.
You're talking about Isaiah Washington?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Look, I didn't use his name because I didn't know if you know.
I didn't. Chris Bunbury did. He just told me.
Right, and the thing is, it's like the Soviet Union. If you say the wrong thing, they throw you into a mental institution. Today in America, you say the wrong thing, they throw you into rehab. And she also was explaining that she didn't use the word. She goes, "I didn't use the word as homosexual."
Okay, but you and I agree that political correctness has gone completely crazy, and you and I certainly are not politically correct. But Ann Coulter, this is unusual for Ann Coulter, isn't it?
She alleged that she used it in the schoolyard term. Like when I was a girl, when I was a kid, if you were really geeky or goony or nerdy or a loser, they'd say, oh, you're such a faggot. It didn't mean you were gay, but the point is
Pamela.
That... Pamela. All right, wait. I know.
Really? Is that where they used the word in your school? To me?
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah, that's exactly.
Okay, I believe anything you tell me.
Well, listen, guys, I want your listeners to go on my blog, which is atlasshrugs.com or pamelasnews.com or pamelageller.com, and there's a vlog on YouTube of me talking about this very thing, because I think they'll find it very amusing. But the point is that what pissed me off is that the right went nuts. The right is demanding that there was an open letter to CPAC sponsors that they ban Ann Coulter. One newspaper has pulled a column, ads, she's lost to advertising. And if you saw the list of bloggers, listen, they're my peers. I mean, I understand Malcolm said she will not appear with her, but we have The American Mind, Outside the Beltway, Boy from Troy, Little Miss Attila, Foster's Blog, Ankle Biting Pundits, Captain's Quarters. These are really the Ace of Spades, who uses more filthy language. It's unbelievable.
So it's like a lynch mob, a politically correct lynch mob.
Yeah,
Pamela, hold the phone for 1 second. We've got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with you. And we're with Pamela Geller, atlasshrugs.com. We missed you last week, Pamela. And I want to get back to last week for a second. Ann Coulter can take care of herself.
Wait,
we can't hear you.
Geller, one quick thing.
What?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I want to get back to last...
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing about
sure.
The faggot remark. Look, the faggot, it was ill-thought, it was poorly, it was ill-conceived, it was a mistake, it's not a pretty word, you can disagree, you can say it's wrong, you can do all those things. I love that. But to ban, to eat our young, to eat our own, this is what I take issue with.
Absolutely. It was an overboard reaction. Overreaction. Okay. Or counterreaction.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I want to make that clear. I'm not coming out and saying this is a gorgeous thing. Look, clearly it was a faux pas. It's not the point. It's my reaction to it. It's what we hold in contempt. That kind of groupthink, thought police, you can't do this, you can't say that. It's not who we are. Individuals, the individualistic party, the conservatives. Okay, I'm sorry, now go back to what you wanted.
No, I want to talk about the conservatives because you had, maybe not rare for New Yorkers and Washingtonians, but certainly rare for Canadians, and rare to have somebody here. You were in a room with the power elite going forward. Guys that, you know, some of them we'd like to see as president, we meaning you and I and our listeners.
Yeah.
And I want to get your impression because everybody was there at this conference. Giuliani was there, McCain was there, Cheney was there, Bolton was there and gave an incredible speech. What was your impression going forward? Who's best organized? And I know who you'd like would be Bolton, but who's really looks like he's best organized?
To me, Bolton is the most presidential. He has the resume, he has the spine, he has the fortitude to me, he is the most presidential. And, if, you know, even looking at him, he reminds me of a, you know, one of the historic greats like Thomas Jefferson. I could see him in that room signing that the Constitution. You know, he looks like that, but that's just an aside. I mean, as far as Giuliani, I do like Giuliani. I mean, I am a New Yorker. I am concerned. I'm concerned that he lacks gravitas, but he's right on all the issues, except, of course, the Second Amendment. I'm a big believer that people should be able to be, have guns. I'm a huge believer in that because...
For our listeners, the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights is the right to bear arms.
Yeah, because an unarmed nation is a nation of sheep. Now, if there's going to be an accident, it's a terrible thing. There's drunken car accidents, but you don't not drive. There, I mean, accidents happen, and if somebody misuses it, they go to jail. But you should be allowed. It makes a difference between America and the rest of the world, believe it or not, because otherwise you're a hurt society. Romney was much stronger. I saw him at NRI, National Review Institute, and he reminded me, quite frankly, of a B-level game TV show host.
Yeah, he keeps changing his stripes all the time. I'm a liberal Republican. I'm a conservative Republican.
He came out strong. My fear now is we need the real thing, because even though America and much of the West is being lulled into this false sense of security, we all know that it's just a matter of time. We all know that. And we need somebody who is real in terms of their positions and their spine and their character and balls. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on your show.
You're allowed to say that. Only the F word you're not allowed to say.
It's the number one issue, the balls issue. That's the number one issue. I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't know that my candidate has shown up yet, Beryl. I don't know that my candidate has shown up yet. I am telling you right now that, hey, they're talking Fred Thompson right now that he may run. So, you know, it's never been so early.
Fred Thompson. For our listeners, he was a former U.S. senator. He was a prosecutor during Watergate. He was also an actor.
Yeah, he was a big actor. I mean, listen, people love him. But I'm
bad actor, Chris says.
It's very early. It's too early. And I'll tell you, it's a bad thing because people get old fast. Look at McCain. He was the hot comer. He was going. He was gone. He's finished. He didn't even show up at CPAC. So I think it's too early. What's going to be a year from now with all these people that are hot, hot, hot now? You know, it's like everybody, it's this year's model. So I say the jury is still out. I also believe that the jihad has not weighed in. And that's a deciding factor as well. So it's going to be a very hotly contested race. I think the Democrats, thank God, I wanted to say thank God they won the election. So now the American people can see what spineless and un-American Americans they are. That's all I have to say.
Sweetheart, we're up against the clock, but I want you to come back, to be back with us tomorrow night at 6:30 because I want to talk about Iran with you. We didn't have time tonight.
Well, I'd love it.
Okay?
I'll bring the champagne. You bring the glasses.
And the roses.
Okay. Yeah, no roses. The chocolates.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you all. You fighting ladies, you. This is good. And Montreal, I want to leave you with one note again as you listen to our mayor tomorrow. Black is white, white is black. This is Alice in Wonderland time, and it's time for you to be heard. Sign the petitions of Giovanna Giancaspro. Sign the other petitions that are rolling all over the place. Go online, because all these names are now going to be put on the online database. PetitionOnline.com, one word, PetitionOnline.com, /RACHDAS, like Sam, the number one. And those names will be built as these names from the hard copy petitions are put on the site. And I was just to the mayor and his minions that they watch as that site grows. Because we seem to be living in a time of such irresponsible and unimaginative civic administrations that we may soon witness every action by the authorities exciting the people's contempt and every failure to act exciting their disgust. Good night.